How is India handling the current COVID-19 pandemic?
Look, I think, like you said, India has been showing some good progress. I mean, it announced the lockdown for 21 days, and that has had mixed reactions. I mean, it's a countrywide lockdown, so you could argue that it's certainly learned from other countries across the globe, and it's showing decisive action even before there was certainty about the nature and the spread of COVID-19. And I think that so far the reports on corona hotspots do seem to focus on specific areas in India. I mean, specific states like Kerala, Karnataka, Maharashtra, or cities like Mumbai and Delhi. But many problems do remain, and people are asking, has this lockdown been effective? What are the kind of ramifications for a lockdown that was announced 24 hours before with little consultation with the state government? And I think that India really, it's still unclear what this lockdown would mean, whether it's going to be able to, you know, flatten the curve, a lot of times said, or, you know, in India, testing is limited or not widely available, and it's still unsure about what kind of strategy is to be implemented. So, like you said before, I mean, India is really densely populated. How can you isolate people in these circumstances? Or how can you even do contact tracing when people who live in slums, you don't know who they met, when they met them, when they live under such extreme conditions, right?
What kind of ramifications are we talking about? I mean, let's talk economic for one. As we say, India is a developing country that has made enormous strides in recent decades in regards to its economic value on terms of the world market. Are we seeing some real hit back there?
I think we certainly will. I mean, let's start with the people who are most disenfranchised, the poor, the migrant laborers, the result of the lockdown. If India has about 80 to 90% of its workforce in the unorganized sector, when these people lose their jobs, that is going to have huge ramifications for their ability to secure income for their families, for their loved ones. And of course, it's going to hit the economy more broadly. And these are just the kind of the immediate things that we're seeing. The migrant laborers that prop up India's middle classes and India's economy has now forced to leave their jobs and walk hundreds and thousands of kilometers back to their villages. And some of them might be carrying the virus. So I think that has been the main critique of the Indian government policy and its kind of very rapid lockdown and the implication it has for all these millions of people in the unorganized sector.
Of course, it's interesting if we compare the situation here in Australia, because obviously we've had a mixed reaction to the sort of restrictions we've seen in Australia so far as well. And it has exposed certain schisms in our own system when it comes to social welfare, underemployment and the like. So if we see those kinds of things mapped onto India, we see these same problems that were existing previously in regards to poorer workers in India. Do you think the kind of impact we're seeing, the kind of ramifications, the kind of dissatisfaction we're seeing in India right now might lead to larger changes within that system?
Look, this is a very difficult question in the sense that there are so many. India is a very diverse country and the state operate differently. I do think you're correct to identify the fact that there's rising tensions, right? When people are disenfranchised, when the poor have no secure income, it's certainly going to impact the country more widely. And there are going to be tensions across classes and religion and ethnic groups and even states. I mean, some states are, like in Australia, are securing their borders. Another important aspect is that Australia, we do have a safety net. We do have a functioning healthcare system, whereas in India, the healthcare system is mostly privatized. People have no access to care in the rural areas. There are many unqualified healthcare practitioners, which are operating in ways that, you know, that can be counterproductive. So there's a whole slew of issues in India that need to be addressed when looking at this massive problem.
And I did want to touch on those religious tensions that you mentioned there as well. India is a secular state, but look, a recent Islamic mass prayer gathering resulted in some religious divide and some flare-up of Islamophobia. Now, I think it would be fair to say within India's borders right now, this was again an underlying issue that existed before the COVID-19 pandemic took place. Some would put that at the feet of Prime Minister Modi himself and some of the most recent policies. What do you make of the latest flare-ups around this issue?
Look, I think this is a very worrying issue. I mean, we know that there are existing tensions between Hindus and Muslims already in India. It's been for decades, and we've seen that even more recently. And the coronavirus just amplifies this. Just to give some background to people who might not have heard of it, but now Muslims in India have been tagged with they've been assigned the responsibility of spreading coronavirus. And that's as a result of an annual conference that was held in Delhi, in the vicinity, in an area called the Nizamuddin, where several delegates were linked to COVID-19 and are said to have carried it across India. And that was well before the lockdown was announced. So what we're seeing now is that across the media and social media, especially, it's covered in a way that's really trying to fan religious tensions. So it's been called hashtag Corona Jihad or Bio Jihad. And all of this is perpetuating the Islamophobia in India. And like you said, it's extremely troubling given that, you know, the spread of fake news across these different platforms can be vicious and explosive in many ways. Mm. So I do hope that the various leaders in India, both at the central level, but also at state level, can somehow bring this or curb this to tone it down.